The Maharal talks about the similarities between Klal Yisrael and Yavan. Yavan, in the dream, in the vision of Daniel, was a Namer. A Namer is a leopard, feline. In the vision of Nebuchadnezzar, Yavan is Nechoshes. So Namer in among the animal kingdom and Nechoshes among the metals, they have something in common. It's very difficult to make an impact on Nechoshes. It's very difficult to make an impact on a Namer. They're not in the spell. You chase them all. I was looking at a shtickle from Shem Shmuel today, and he starts talking about Nechoshes and Yavan. It was Mamish and Yanad Yemen. And Pashas Truma. So it's again Pasha Chuma, Zavakas and Nechoshes. They said that they don't, you know, you can't chase them away. You ever try, I mean, this is something which in our family, you bring out the garbage to the garbage can and you toss the bag and the cats jump out and you try and get them to scoot away. And they just look at you, they look at you in the face and they just stay there, they're not moving. And they move away a little bit and then they come right back. A Namer, it's from the same mishpacha. They have an Azus. They say a cat, the difference between a cat and a dog is a dog is man's best friend, he's your pet. And the cat thinks that the human is its pet. You know, the cat owns the person. It's true, a Namer. It's very difficult to make a ration on them. They come back again and again and again. And you try and be mishpi on them. So we talked about Chaimer and Tzura last time. That everything in this world is broken up into one or two categories. Either Tzura, that's what makes an impact. It gives form to something. And Chaimer is the raw mass, the building mass. And we also discussed that sometimes it's relative. An entity could be Chaimer in regards to one thing, and could be Tzura in regards to somebody else. To say Klal Yisrael, klape de welt. Klal Yisrael, in regards to the world, is the tzur of the world. Klal Yisrael, the way Klal Yisrael is supposed to be. The way Klal Yisrael is supposed to be is a dirty example, and they give form, and they give definition to the world, and they give a sense of purpose. And you want to see an example of what form a human being is supposed to take. You're supposed to look at a yid, that's the model. And that's the Gemara I'm talking. The Gemara says, Lahigla Yisrael ben Umayis el litvasef aleihem gerim. That the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu chose Golus is a necessary evil, it's a necessary thing. But the form the Golus takes is that Klal Yisrael is to spread. They're spread out. And there's no place, there's no yid. So Golus doesn't have to be that way. You know, Golus is a Kodesh Baruch Hu could have sent them to the moon. But Bedafka, Kodesh Baruch Hu sent them and spread them out among the Goyim, because every single Goyim needs a chance. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants the Goyim also to have a chance. Kodesh Baruch Hu is a Ayiv Mishpat. And they deserve a chance. If Hashem creates a person in this world, they get a chance. If someone never saw a yid, how would they know? How would they know what a human being is supposed to be? And then they see a yid, they want to be a human being also. That's what the tzur is. You know the...
But a yid in Golus is not what a human being is supposed to be, though.
Well, a yid has to be that in Golus. The gerim that there are in Klal Yisrael, there are some gerim in Klal Yisrael. They're gerim because they had an encounter. You know, my father, whose business ethics are impeccable, and anyone that works with him or for him knows that his Jewish morals guide his business, and he's very strong about it. So he had one of his head nurses, she wanted to be Maguire, Irish woman, Kathy Murphy, but he pushed her off. First of all, his husband didn't want to be Maguire, so that alone was an issue. Well, she didn't see it that way, but my father explained it to her, it doesn't work that way. Does she want to be a guy? Because she saw someone with integrity. She saw someone, he's different than everybody else. Any other person she worked with had no morals. The moral is to get ahead, to make money. He had standards. He has standards. This is what Klai Yisrael, you want to see a dogma. This is the famous Maisa with the Bianco Kamenetsky and his son Rabbi Yamin. I think it was Rabbi Yamin. Not Rabbi Yamin, Rabbi Avram. It was one of Rabbi Yankov's sons. They were flying on the plane. And Rabbi Yankov, his elderly man, and his son also looked, you know, an elderly person. And his son was being Misharis him. He was serving him like a son, like a Jewish son serves a Jewish father. And there was someone sitting next to Rabbi Yankov, and he said, I don't understand. Well, he's an elderly person. Why is he waiting on you hand and foot? And he said, it's my father. He said, well, my children don't treat me like that. They don't treat this. You know, I wish they would just stay away from me, what they do to me. Don't wait on me hand and foot. And then Yankov explained it to him. He said, we believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu was Megala and Hashina, what the Tzuras HaAdam is. And that a mensch is a mensch with Torah. And Torah is meant to bring a person up. And the bench is supposed to be a malach, and to take the physical parts of this world and be mal them, and to bring them to the tafkid. And the further we get away from our Sinai, the further we are from that ideal. So the father is closer to what a human being is. He said, well, you believe that man descends from an ape, so that your son believes you're closer to the ape. To a Sodom. No, my Rebbe, Rabbi Avraham Levin Shliti, once it over from Rabbi Eliel Apian, Zichron Levracha, that he understands why they believe in the theory of evolution. Like my biology teacher said, the theory of evolution does not mean that man evolved from apes. It means that man and apes evolved along common evolutionary lines. They evolved, you know, side by side from a common link. Yeah, and we said, Mr. Wilczek, maybe you came from a monkey, but we didn't. He said, that's not what Darwin said. And we said, Mr. Wilczek, maybe you came from a monkey, we didn't. I think he understands why they believe that man evolved from an ape. Because they never saw a mensch. He said, some of the Tzor of Yisrael Salanta could never believe that. Because Yisrael Salanta was a mensch. You saw him some Chazisal, you saw him some Salanter, you saw a mensch. But they never saw a mensch. And all the people that they saw, Taka looked like him, apes and monkeys. It's a Taka Zay. They never saw. Klai Yisrael is the Tzura. They give form to the world. They're the Mashpiyim. They're not supposed to be Makabal. And Nebuch, like he's saying, the Tzarein HaRav. When Klai Yisrael is mushpa because of the Shibud Malchus. So then the one that's supposed to be kaveh the tzura is makabel the tzura of the ones it's supposed to give tzura to. That's very 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 tragic. The artist is makabel the tzura from the modeling clay, and he absorbs. His sense of taste and art, his artistic fervor, or his artistic vision, from the blob of clay that's on the pedestal waiting to, and he says, "Oh, I'm inspired." And he starts making blobs all over the place, because he's macabre from the blob. So when we're mushpa, it's more than that. We're mushpa and that we do things which we shouldn't be doing. Because it's more than that. It's a role reversal. That's the tragedy. We are not on this earth to be makabel from them. They're here to be makabel from us. And they could also become meridik tzaddikim chassidim. But the only way they're going to make it is if they have an example. If we're not the example, they're not going to make it either. So Klai Yisrael the Tzura. So Meryl's talking about the Klai Yisrael Amiti is not the way we are today. That was a Klai Yisrael. There's still glimmers of it. There's still glimmers of it. It's a digging. So Klai says Azim. Azim means they set the Tzura. They're Kaveh the Tzura. They're not Makabal from anyone else. But Klapi Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Taibele, his dove.
Taibele?
Taibele is Yiddish.
Oh, it's
Yiddish. So, that's right. A dove, right. A dove. Yenasi Bechag Ve'asela. It's interesting. In Sefer Shaftim, this is where we left off. Sefer Shaftim, Shimshon, when he was playing his cat and mouse games with the Plishtim. So there was a tzkuf, he killed out thousands of them, and then he ran to hide. Which was just an excuse to come on Plishtim. But the Maisa, he ran and hide. And he hid in the crack of a rock near Sela Etam, near the Makom HaMikdash, which wasn't the Makom HaMikdash yet. He hid in the cleft of a rock. I didn't look through the Chazal, you know, the Yakut Shemayin. I didn't get a chance to look through it. But to me, Shimshon in a cleft of a rock is a kiyum of the pasuk in Shir Shirim of Yenasi Bechag Ve'Asela. The Shimshon is the kayach of Klal Yisrael. Shimshon is the Azus. He's the Azus of Klal Yisrael. That he, you know, he blasts through. Nothing could affect him. And when he chooses to hide, he's in the crack of a rock, just like Yenasi Bechag Ve'Asela. So all his kayach was only klapi the gayim. Klapi, you know, the enemies, the ones that are Imir al Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the klapi Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's a little dove hiding in the crack of a rock. It's a Tzad HaShava. Shimshon and Azus and is a Samut the Klal Yisrael. So since another thing we talked about last week was the wisdom, Chokhmas HaTaira, is Kulei Tzura. The Taira is Mashpia. You're not Mashpia on the Taira. People have no influence on what the Taira says. The Taira, you draw out from the Taira. My Rebbe said that it's a pasuk of Shir HaShirim. Yishakeni na min shikas piyu, kiss me from the kisses of your mouth. Ki taivim beidecha, your love is better mi yayin, from wine. So my Rebbe, Reb Abba Berman, Zichel Avracha, I learned in his kailo when I first came here. He said, why does it say, taivim beidecha mi yayin, your love is better than from wine? What's the mem? From wine. From wine, and we're talking, and it's a mushroom. Can you see the king? I mean, the shikas piyu is you want to learn taira in a way that's mamish a kiss mouth to God, and it's taivin de decha miyayin, and your love is better taivin de decha miyayin. So my Rebbe said that there's an amkus here. There's two ways to learn taira. There's the wrong way and there's the right way. He said the wrong way is that, okay, yeah, you read something, you're not sure what it means, and then you think about it, and you come up with an idea on your own, and then you take what you think and you put it into the words.
I really something like last week's parsha was like saying like something very, very similar.
Which part? Huh?
Yeah, I don't really remember
exactly what it said. Yeah? He said that's, you know, could be you got it. So yeah, you're taking the Torah from yourself and you're putting it on the words of the Torah. And we do this a lot. A lot. Even big people could do it. This is an assign of a big person. Even big people could do it. Now, my Rebbe, Rebbe Gifter Zichrul of Racha, he was quoting an Akron in Shia. He told us the name of the Akron. I'm not big enough to I'm going to tell you what he said about him. I can't tell you the name of the Akron. Too much, you know. My Rebbe thought he was able to tell us the name of the Akron. And what he said about him was very sharp. That he said something which can aggregate before Shia Gemara. Then he has a whole sermon to explain how to work it out. And my Rebbe said that he had a chiddush which he got from another Gemara. And he said a whole thing to explain it. After he explained it, he had certain concepts that he used to explain the other Gemara. Then he came across this Gemara, and it didn't fit with what he said. So instead of backing out from everything he said, he probably said this. So now the new Gemara has to fit with the way he explained the other Gemara, because otherwise everything he did was not amiss. So even though what he's saying is not reasonable, but he said it anyway because to not say it would be to undo everything he did. That's what he said about it. He said about a daily island, with a big bechayim. But a daily island.
Which Rebbe?
My Rebbe Rebbe Gifter said this. Mm-hmm. He said this. That if he would have seen the other Gemara, if he would have had the other Gemara in front of him, seen it, I mean, he knew Kalt, you know, that he never would have said what he said. You don't put yourself into the Torah. So my Rebbe Baba Berman said, Tevin Dedecha Miyayin, means you have to take the love, the beloved relationship with God, and take it from the wine. Not to emboss yourself, place your layer over the wine. Miyayin. Tevin Dedecha, what's love of God? Miyayin, if you take Miyayin, that the Torah should be Mashpia on you. You're the Chaimer, and the Torah is the Tzura. Says Chachma Satera. So Chachma, someone that's a Baal Chachma, so they're close to Tzura. To them, you know, they appreciate what Tzura is. And they want it. Az is someone that's Az. So they view themselves as someone that I'm not recabled from the world. The world, I have to place my Tzura over the world. So they're going to have something in common with Chachma Satera. It's just a Chachma Satera. The purpose of the Torah is to show, is to teach people what, you know, the Torah is wise. Chachma means wise. Wise means that this is the smartest thing, it's the smartest system in the world. It's wise. It's wisdom. So you don't tell the wisdom what to do. Wisdom tells you what to do. So the same thing in Namer, or Nechayshes, or Klai Yisrael, the Karvel Sechel. And Yevanim are also Karvel Sechel. They want Torah, or do they want it? They want it badly. And Klai Yisrael wants it. And Yevanim, but Klai Yisrael gets it. Look, I once heard a Maisa. I heard it from Rav Dunner. He's a dying in London. I heard a Maisa. That there was someone that passed away, a wealthy man passed away, a lot of money in Switzerland. Someone in Switzerland passed away, left a lot of money. And he left a tzavar in his will that should be distributed to what a panel of Dayanim chooses is the most worthy cause. He left it up to them. So, you know, could you imagine? Could you imagine that kind of opportunity? So you start, as far as I start, the juices are starting to flow. You should make yeshiva in his name, or give it to the mayor, the best, you know, or Panovich, depending on what you think is the best yeshiva in the world. Oh, split it between the mayor and Panovich. What? Right. Get supper for Shannon Kimmel. And they were going back and forth. They paskin, the psak was that the money was going to go to the children, because the Torah says when a person passes away, the natural order, I mean the din Torah, unless the father leaves some kind of tzava, that the money goes to the children.
His children?
So that his children, or the closest relatives, he had children. So the Torah says that the Yerusha money should go to the children, That's the best possible cause, because it could be no better cause than what the Torah says. You love this? Chachmas HaTorah. So someone that's Azus. So he has something in common with the Torah. Azus means you don't accept from other people. You give the form to other people. The Yevanim wanted it. They wanted it more than anything. But they couldn't get it. We'll go into that more, hopefully, tonight. The only, the Gemara Megillah, here we are.
How did he split up that the Yevanim were covered? What was Seichel? Seichel was covered, right?
Yeah, covered is because what gives a person dignity over the animals is a Seichel. Kina Taiva covered. Bikshu Shiyichtavu Lev Chacham Matar Yevanis. The Greek ruler commanded Bikshu, he commanded them. He put the 70 Chachamim in 70 different rooms. He told them to write Chamishi Chamshi Torah into Yevanis. Commission Reforish B'Megillah. And the Gemara has a list of changes that they all made. They had Ruach HaKadosh. They translated into Yevanis. Wasn't them Gagangan 11? Why did Yevanim want it? Nobody wanted such a thing until then. Who cared about the Torah? Nobody wanted such a thing. The Yevanim were the first people in the history of the world that they wanted the Torah translated into their language. Because they had to have it. In the original, they weren't going to get it. They had to have it.
Why exactly did they all get this Ruach HaKodesh to switch translation?
Some of the things were very dangerous.
I know it says we and stuff.
The ruler, the king's wife, her name was Arnevis.
Was what?
Arnevis. Okay. Rabbit, so they had to change the word Arnevis in the Torah. Torah's talking about a non-kosher animal. Yes. And it uses the same name as the king's wife.
So the one where it says, let us create the
Lasso Adam.
Right, so we don't, and the Torah is true, we don't need to hide it.
You're right, that's the reason why it says Nasa Adam. Rashi brings down the Chazal that Tzadikim Yechabam, Yishayim Yikashlevam. But that's when it's given to the people that it's given to. This is not Matan Torah here. You talk about Matan Torah, give it. This is the Emes. Don't make changes because somebody's going to get, the wrong idea. This isn't Matan Torah. This isn't from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here you got to be careful.
What do we have to prove to them?
We're not trying.
It is, and are we worried that
you don't want to give them weapons? You want to load their arsenal.
Like we can't find their own things.
They manage. It's something interesting to Zach because there's many things that they try and prove from the translation. This is on Jordan. We did this in Ashkafish here 2 years ago. There's many things that they try and prove from the Septuagint. It's called the Targum shift in the Septuagint. The way it's translated in the Greek original. One of the main arguments that the virgin birth is Hineha Almahara, that the virgin is with child. And the word Alma is because in the Septuagint the word Alma could mean a virgin. Doesn't always mean a virgin, but it could mean a virgin. So I heard the shiur from Rabbi Taiva Singer. There's two answers to that. First of all, it doesn't always mean a virgin. Sometimes it means a young woman. So it's no raya which one it means. And he brings rayas. But he said the other raya is that the word alma, that's in Yeshaya. The Gemara Megillah says that they translated Chamisha Chamshi Taiva. They didn't translate Yeshaya. So the part of the Septuagint that's on Yeshaya is not from us. They got it from somewhere else. They say that even, the Chachamim translated, even the Chachamim translated, but they only did the Chamisha Chamshi Taira. The Gemara tells us exactly what they did. So if they have something that they call the Septuagint from Yeshaya, it's from somewhere else. It's a magic of tarots.
How do they answer that?
We move on to the next thing.
No, right. Next passage. You don't argue, you don't debate missionaries, they have no brain. They have to go to the wizard to get a brain. Okay, so Afki, Bvada Emu, Mahazaz Kailik Matara. The Torah is not theirs. We come up and bring you to the Matara, be Lashon Shalhem. They wanted the wisdom of the Torah even though it's not theirs. They knew it's not theirs. It's not for them. But they wanted the wisdom. They have the strongest connection with Chachma because of their Midah. They have a Midah. The Midah is very, you know, there are similarities between the Midah. The Midah be'ikar is form. Yavan worshipped Yaifi. Yaifi is beauty and beauty is form. Yaifi means it makes a difference. How the clay is you know, arrayed. It's got to be beautiful. Klal Yisrael worships the purpose of an object. You have the building blocks of creation, and then the Kadosh Baruch Hu clothes each thing with a form that serves his purpose. So we worship that. We worship the purpose. That we recognize that every single object in creation, man, animal, vegetable, mineral, has a purpose, and the way that purpose is determined is by its form and the way it looks, and then we use it for the reason what it was created for. The Ivanim believed that the purpose of forms is to be aesthetically pleasing. Yefi. Beauty for the sake of beauty. So they wanted the Chochmah, because it was just beautiful. They loved its perfect form. They loved the Tzura. They had a Kesha to Tzura. They're a number. They're Nechayshis. They just loved it, and they wanted it, but it's not for them. Hashem didn't create it for them, and Hashem didn't give it to them. B'lachak Dorshu Yafta L'kim L'yafet Tzrishkin Ba'al Hashem. This is the bracha that Nayach gave to his children, that Yefesh should be zechet to beauty, but he should dwell in the tent of shame. Upir Shazal, Amr Abchia, Baraba, Anitam Nesuv Yaftal Kim Yefesh, Yefusa Shal Yefesh, Yehei Baal Hashem. What's the Yefi of Yefesh? The language. It's a beautiful language. If anyone knows anything about languages, knows I'm not an expert in the beauty of languages, but we are all experts in the ugliness of language. American English is the ugliest language you could possibly imagine. There's
German?
No. German sounds ugly. There's no rules. There's no rules. There's no symmetry. It's out of whack. I've had enough of this. This is tough. I'm going to laugh. My kids can't learn. They have no idea. They don't know what to do with this. You have to memorize it. There's no rules. It doesn't make sense. Ghoti. What does it spell? Ghoti.
Gotti?
Fish.
Oh.
Gh is. O is like an I in the word women. And ti, a nation. Fish. Ghoti. There's no Yaifi at all. It makes no sense. You can't learn it. It's so hard. But the other language, but on the other end, so that's American, the other end of the spectrum, the Lashon of Yivan, which we don't have nowadays, the Greeks don't speak it. We don't have it nowadays. I mean, the Rambam Paschals, we don't have Greek today. What we have is not Greek. He said, we don't have it. But it's so beautiful. It's such a symmetry. It's like a beautiful harmony. Anyone that spoke in Greek, they were able to express the most beautiful concepts. They had the words available to them to express beauty. And not every language has words that could express certain concepts. They don't have the words to express it. And it does. That's why, you know, so wisdom is beautiful. But wisdom is beautiful because the beauty of wisdom is that it's the true purpose of things. In Yavan, they worship the beauty of the wisdom just because it was beautiful. They don't really care about purposes. The most beautiful possession of the Greek people was the language. It is the most beautiful Yatar Bale Shem. It'll be, the Torah will be written in it. And that's the tense of shame. The tense of shame is where they learn Torah. Save a Torah. That's the only language you're allowed to write the Save a Torah besides Hebrew. Because of this, yes, I'm a chachma, yes.
It's a big deal when they translate it.
Okay, a beautiful language doesn't always mean.
You're
allowed to write it, but you know, it's something. Anytime you translate something into a different language, it's always going to be perceived from the perspective of the ones who speak that language. You are not. It's not just. There's no such thing as an exact translation. The language of a people embodies its culture and the way they view everything in all reality. The language that they have, that they have the language to express the things that they believe in. That's how languages work. A true language is a language of the soul. If the Torah is translated into Greek, so on the one hand, since the Greek language is a beautiful language, it's not a bazillion for the Torah. So that's why it's mutter. To translate the Torah into another language would be a bazillion. You're taking such beautiful words and you're expressing it in words that are not, they're not fine, they're not nice. So it's a covet. It's a covet to the Torah to translate it to Greek because it's nice. But the Maaser, the Torah now, can be understood even by Greeks. Now the only way a Greek can understand Torah is if it's brought down to his level. You know, you ever sit down on an airplane next to somebody and they want to know what you're reading, and then you tell them, "Oh, you wouldn't understand." They say, "No, try me." So you tell them something. You tell something at his level. Correct?
I'm like, "You're chill, just Harry Potter."
I get really complicated.
Okay. I once showed this Christian woman the inside of the Daf of the morning. She's like, "I give up."
Good move,
because she was a woman.
Yeah,
but but if you translate the entire Torah on the level of people that are not on a level to understand Torah, is that a happy occasion? The Torah has never been so low before. So on the one hand, it's mutter because it's beautiful, so it's not a bazillion. On the other hand, it's a yirid of Torah, and that's called Chayshek. It was one of the 3 days of Chayshek.
So how do we do it now? Art's role.
It means a safer code, no?
Yeah, and so when we do it now...
To write it...
Right, we're not saying that this is the Torah. It's just to help to understand the Torah.
You could write a safer Torah in Greek.
In Greek, you write a safer Torah. We're saying
how would you do that, though? It's different.
Like, that scroll is a commentary. It's not writing a Torah. If you want to write a safer Torah, it can only be in Greek. It can't be in anything else.
If you translate it from the Greek to any other language?
As long as you're not writing
it
to
a safer Torah. Wasn't there Greek in the days of Mikdash? Somewhere? If they used it for when they numbered the Kohanim's things.
The lots. On the, like, treasure.
Well, I'm making things up.
Yeah, well, the Yishkim Bali Shem. You mentioned the Beis HaMikdash. There's another pshat to this pasuk. One pshat in the pasuk is Yafta Lakim Liyafas Yishkim Bali Shem. Is that the Sefer Torah can be written in Greek. The other pshat of the pasuk is that in the times of the second base of Midrash, the permission for the second base of Midrash came from B'nai Yefes. The king at the time was Koresh. Koresh was right before Achashverosh. He was the son-in-law of Dayavish. Dayavish conquered Belshazzar. And Koresh gave permission for the Jews to go back. Ultimately, that led to building the second base of Midrash. That means the initial stages of the building was with the Rishus of Bnei Yefes.
I thought he was Persian. From Babel.
So, and where are Persians from? Persians are not from Babel. Persians are not from Babel. Persians are Persians. They were around a long time before Bubble. Bubble was a new... Bubble lasted for 70 years. That was it. Start to finish. No more Bubble.
So what was Bubble? Was Babylonians.
Kazdim.
They're from Babylon.
They're called Kazdim. Okay.
That's Yefes?
Well, Persians were... Persians are Yefes.
The Greek is Yefes. Persians are Greek.
There's more than one family to Yefes. It's one third of the world. They value wisdom. That's why they tried to remove Klal Yisrael from the Torah. A warrior is not jealous of someone that's not a fellow warrior. They don't care. He's only jealous of someone that's just like him. Because if they can't get it, then the Jews aren't going to have it either. That's why the Greeks are a leopard. In Daniel's vision, he saw the leopard had four wings. Because Chachma has no limits. You have a limit to how much you could eat. You have a limit to how high you could jump. You can have a limit to how long you could stay underwater. But there's no limit to Chachma. Every person in this world has a capacity to be, go beyond, and to be without any limits. The mind, my wife's great uncle, Shaka Fiver, used to say, the seichel is elastic. The seichel is elastic. You don't have a big enough seichel to understand now? No problem. I'll teach you more, and it's going to stretch, get bigger. Cycles elastish. So that's why it's four wings, because all four directions, and there's no stopping it. Ain't like Vuklal, there's no limits. Rachma Spasha Bechamakim. Chachma, you can go anywhere with Chachma. Literally. Lakakayim, Midamiz, Alanam, Sheshadal, Knafayim. A leopard with four wings. Sheknafayim, Marin, Alaspasha, Bechodal, Ruchais. The wings means it goes and travels everywhere at once. And the Nama represents Chachma. Chachma with wings.
There's also four wings in the Kruvim.
Yes, there are. With the two Kruvim together.
Right.
But it's from one piece of
gold.
Is that
true?
Kruvim
are one poor cash. Awesome.
The concept of wings, Natal's mentioning angels have wings. The concept of wings, first of all, angels don't have wings. Angels don't have physical bodies, so they don't have wings either. Angels don't have wings. They have knafayim, whatever the pasuk says. The reason why it refers to angels as having wings is for us to be able to understand something. Birds have wings. The function of a bird's wings is to keep it off the ground. So wings represent a concept. It represents the concept of being removed from Kashmir, from the ground. That means the ground's over here, down here, and the birdie's up there, and there's a tremendous, tremendous distance between each other. You know, the bird does not go on the ground, he flies in the heavens. A nesher, a hawk, or an eagle goes as far as possible. That's a mashal to malach. A malach has wings because it's very distant from anything physical. It's far from the ground. So this Namer has wings. The Namer has wings. What does it mean? That the Mida of Yavan and of Klal Yisrael is that you're very, very close to concepts and thoughts and wisdom. And you're constantly looking for wisdom to explain and to guide and to be an example to others. So it's a number with wings. A number with wings is wisdom that has no limit and is removed from anything physical. Mamash removes anything physical. Typically, he has four wings, because Mishpasha B'chalmokim, Maribri and Maisha, he told us this, I don't know where he got it from, but he got it from Masera. And he says, that's the site of what a cross is. The site of a cross is to be shalit in the four directions. That's what a cross does.
That's why we kill them on a cross?
We did that. Don't.
What I'm not following, though, is the wisdom of Yavon is only in this world.
Yes.
So it's not infinite. It goes really, really far, their wisdom.
Wisdom is infinite, but they limit their own wisdom.
So it's a number with broken wings.
No. They have wings, they just don't use it to its fullest. They're making a bad decision. Maral says that the reason why the Yavanim... We know why they want the Torah. Why can't they have the Torah? It's because the Torah is not just facts and figures. The Torah is relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Is the knowledge a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Or is it the fact that we're learning it?
Kadosh Baruch Hu created it. Kadosh Baruch Hu expressed it. And when we learn it, we're absorbing what Hashem expressed into ourselves. That brings us closer to the One. You can't hug God. It doesn't work. The closest you can get to God is to get close to what He expressed. Yavanim are attracted to Torah for one reason only. Because the Chokmah Shabbai is such yafi. That means they're not close to Torah for any other reason. There's a Chelek HaTorah, like Kiyam Mitzvah, Kiyam HaTorah. That's totally, totally foreign to them. They have no idea what that is. Why would anybody want to be Mekayim Mitzvah? What does it have to do with Chokmah? It has nothing to do with Chokmah, so they don't want to do it. The Yavanim, because they appreciate the Torah, and they want the Torah because of the Chokmah Shabbai, so then they don't get anything. Because the only way for you to get any Torah is to have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This Chokmah is so removed from Chaimer, it's so removed from Elam Hazeh, that someone in Elam Hazeh can only get the Torah if Hashem gives it to him. Hashem only gives it to people he has a relationship with. If someone doesn't do the Torah, then they're making a separation, a block between them and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he doesn't give them the Chelek HaChokmah. Hashem only gives it with a kiss. He doesn't give it with a handshake. You have to embrace the entire Torah. Hashem says, oh, this is called a relationship. Then Hashem will let you understand the Torah. Hashem will grant you the wisdom to understand it. But to say, I just want the wisdom of the Torah because it's so beautiful. And the mice and the chelek ha-mice I don't want because I don't want it. So then you're making a chatzitza. Ad kan v'zuloy. I'm not doing that. Hashem doesn't relate to people with chatzitzas. He doesn't relate to people on their terms. He's got to be, he gives Torah to the ones that he has everything with. That was the opposition of Klal Yisrael. The godly Torah, they want it, they can't have it. They can't have it because they're not willing to give up everything to get it. They don't want Klal Yisrael to be above everyone else. This is Nara Shlishi. Zunashi Chadavakala is swift and sharp. You have a river that's flowing through it. Don't get in the way. It's very dangerous. Swift and sharp. Everyone who owned an ox had to inscribe on the horn of the ox that they have no chelik in the God of Israel. That's what they say.
Didn't they get rid of their oxen?
They sent them away. This is very Nigeria. In 2 weeks, this is the Maisa Eagle. This is the Maisa Eagle. Okay. This is what we're holding.